This is the night when we remember the Last Supper, which is, of course, at the very center of what gathers us here in this church every week of the year, the Holy Eucharist. And every time we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, the celebrant says these words of the Eucharistic prayer that come almost directly from the Bible. On the night when he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Tonight, in our epistle reading, we hear those words in the original, if you will, in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Many priests and many lay people, too, have these words memorized. We've heard them said so often. And so it's jarring to hear St. Paul's words go off track, as it were, in the original version from 1 Corinthians. Because what we don't say every week in the Eucharistic prayer are the final words we hear from Paul this evening. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Perhaps the church didn't include those words when it wrote the Eucharistic prayer because they're so odd on first hearing. Paul likely doesn't say them by accident. So what on earth does Paul mean by "you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes"? Why would we want to proclaim Christ's death? Why not his life, his resurrection, his teachings, his healings, his example? Why does Paul link this most central sacrament of the Christian faith to the death of its founder? Simplest answer is that Paul does so because Jesus himself did so. It is no mere coincidence that Jesus breaks bread and shares wine with his disciples and tells them that they are to be for them his body and blood on this, the last full day of his life. Nor is it mere coincidence that Jesus gives his followers a new commandment that they are to love one another, and then shows them what that love looks like by washing their feet as a sign of humility and care on this last full day of his life. There was a very early Christian heresy called docetism, from the Greek word dokesis, meaning apparition or illusion. The docetics believed that Christ, being fully divine, only appeared to have a body, and not having a physical body, never really suffered and never truly died. But Paul denies this clearly in saying, "We proclaim his death." And proclaiming his death does three things. First, it shows that Jesus really was the ultimate sacrifice that rendered all future sacrificial offerings unnecessary. Second, his death made possible the resurrection to new life, because you can't resurrect someone who is already alive or who has never actually been alive. And finally, proclaiming Christ's death in the midst of the intimate experience of washing another's feet and sharing a meal shows us that there is love and life even in the midst of profound loss and grief. Paul does not say, "We proclaim his death because he's mean-spirited," but because he's honest. There is loss in this life. A meaningful life doesn't come from grasping tightly onto what we have so that we might never know loss. Jesus didn't tell the disciples on that Last Supper, "I'll never leave you." In fact, in tonight's reading, he tells them just the opposite. "Where I am going, you cannot come." St. Paul tells the new Christians in the city of Corinth, "We proclaim his death," because he knows, just as Jesus knows, that true life doesn't come from a denial of change or a denial of loss. True life comes from loving each other through that loss and living in the hope of the resurrection to new life. As I said in my sermon last week, There is new life after great loss, but it will not look just like our old life. The temple in Jerusalem that the Jews rebuilt after the destruction of the first temple in the 6th century BC by the Babylonians was not a carbon copy of the first temple. The resurrected body did not look like the pre-resurrected body. In John's gospel, Mary Magdalene thinks the resurrected Christ is the gardener. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus' disciples walking along the road with him don't know who he is. There is real loss and there is real resurrection to new life, and it will look different. In the midst of these most profound of human experiences of loss and grief and hope for the future, Jesus tells us through the Holy Eucharist that he is with us. Through the washing of the disciples' feet, Jesus shows us that we are to care for one another. Presence and care. On these two actions hang almost all of what it means to live as a follower of Jesus in this world.